Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for coming to learn together tonight in this strange Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. I've never given a Shabbos Hagadol Drasha not on Shabbos. I know that other Rabbanim do, but this is a little bit surreal, a little bit strange, a little bit unusual. I just want to say before we begin that the Shir is sponsored anonymously, L'Zecher Nishmas, our dear friend Mordechai David Ben Shmuel Chaim, Zichrono Levracha. We hope that the learning we do this evening and all of the learning that we do in our shul, in our community, should be an aliyas neshama for a very, very special and precious neshama who is very beloved and remains very beloved to us here in North Woodmere and in many other places as well. I have to say that I feel woefully unprepared for this drasha in many, many different ways. I feel like overall, I'm more unprepared for Yom Tov than I've ever been before, for the Yom Tov of Pesach, because nothing could have prepared us for this kind of Yom Tov. Now, there's a certain advantage and a certain disadvantage to a lack of preparation. Sometimes when a person is unprepared, it comes out, it becomes very obvious that they just, it falls flat. They just, they don't have what to offer, they don't have what to say, they don't have whatever they're preparing for. You can tell, you can see the lack of preparedness. But sometimes when a person is not prepared for a specific event, and then they have to draw on their entire life experience in order to confront that event, in order to deal with that event, in order to experience that event, you get to see how really their entire life was one big preparation for that event, for that moment in time. And I feel that we're certainly seeing that a lot as we watch different people handling a totally unprecedented situation that no one could have ever been prepared for. I think of the Piskei Halacha and the guidance that Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Shechter Shlita has offered since we started, and no one could have prepared him for the idea that there's going to be this virus that's going to be so awful and is going to totally change the way we live our lives, and for some people change their lives forever. But it's 70 plus years of preparation, of working on one's sensitivity, working on one's Yediyas HaTorah, working on one's Koach HaPsak, that enables him to lead Klal Yisrael. Just last night in Rav Moshe Weinberger's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, one advantage that you have when you give the last Shabbos HaGadol Drasha is you get to hear everybody else's first. In Rav Moshe Weinberger's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, he mentioned that a woman from his shul called him up or left him a voice note and said that she didn't buy tambourines to greet Mashiach. For some reason, she assumes that she needs tambourines to greet Mashiach so that they can play music and escort the parade when Mashiach comes, and he sent her back half in jest that don't worry, I'm sure you have Amazon, so you could probably order tambourines. And sure enough, she sent him back a note with the Amazon order that it's coming on Wednesday, that her tambourines are coming on Wednesday. And it got me thinking, where does that come from? Why is that where a person's mind goes to? And the answer is because if you've been attending a shul where there's a certain Rav who's talking constantly about growing and about yearning and about waiting for Mashiach and about hoping for Geula, so that's how you're primed to think. That's a preparation of one's whole life. So while I apologize, there are no Mar Makomos. Normally, I put a lot of work into preparing the Mar Makomos for the drasha. This drasha is a less prepared kind of drasha. I also want to address my location right now. A number of people asked if I can give the drasha from shul. A number of Rabbanim have done so, and many of their kihilos find it comforting that even though they're all alone in the shul, at least they get to see the inside of the building. They see the Rav standing there with a talis and delivering a drasha. I just couldn't do it. I apologize. I don't feel that I belong in shul if nobody else can be in shul. Yet I can reassure everyone from our community that on the day that we closed our shul, the Weiss family, Tully and Daniela Weiss, who live upstairs from the shul right now. And we had a conversation, and Tully asked if it would be okay if he and his boys, when they daven in their home every day, would go downstairs and daven in the shul, and they have been. And our shul, therefore, has had davening b'yechidus with just the Weiss family. So that gives me a sense of nechama, that it hasn't been empty from any tefillah, but I can't bring myself, if others can't go, if my chaverim can't come with me, I can't bring myself to go and deliver the drasha in shul. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to discuss one idea and four different approaches to this idea. And I think each approach that we're going to have toward this idea is going to provide us with a critical message, particularly for this year, particularly for the experience that we're having now. And here's the idea. There is a medrash in Eicha Rabbah, a medrash on Megillas Eicha, where the medrash comments on Eicha Paragimel Pasuk Tezvav. The Pasuk says, Hasbi'eni bimrurim hirvani la'ana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has satiated me, has filled me up with bitterness, and has also satisfied me with wormwood. And the medrash comments, Mashe hisbi'eni bimrurim b'leilei ha-Pesach, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has satiated me with maror, with bitter herbs on Pesach night, Hirvani Lana Belel Tisha B'Av, has led me to the experience that I have on the night of Tisha B'Av. And the Medrash explains, because there is a deep connection between Tisha B'Av and the night of the Seder, that the very same night of the week that the night of the Seder falls out on is the very same night of the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on that year. So if this year the first Seder night is Wednesday night, Tisha B'Av is also on Wednesday night. And the Medrash highlights this connection, but does not really elaborate much further on the connection, on what that means exactly, what's the deeper connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. But lest you think it's one little Medrash tucked away in Eicha Rabbah, we don't have to pay it much heed, we don't have to pay it much attention. This appears in the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach. The Ramah in Siman Taf Ayin Vav Si'if Beis writes, Noagim b'ktsas mekomos lechol b'su'uda beitzim zecher la'avelus, that there's a minog Yisrael, it's the minog in my family, that we eat eggs on the night of the Seder. Why? As a zecher ta'avelus. Why would we have avelus on the night of the Seder? Says the Ramah, two possibilities. Number one, v'niraliyata mishum shalel tisha b'av nikva b'lel Pesach. There's that medrash again, that the night of Tisha B'Av is determined on the night of Pesach. The night that Pesach is going to fall out on, the night of the week that Pesach falls out on, is the night of Tisha B'Av, and therefore we bring a little Tisha B'Av into Pesach, says the Ramah. Furthermore, says the Ramah, another reason, va'od, zecher l'churban, shayim akriv, in karban Pesach. We need the egg, because the egg also, a symbol of avelus over the churban, because we no longer have a karban Pesach. We have to realize that even in the best of years, when we're experiencing a Seder, wherever we normally experience it, with however many generations and children running around that we normally experience it, whatever we've experienced in our lifetimes is a shell of what the Seder is supposed to be. We're missing the ikur. The ikur is the Karban Pesach. We're missing the primary mitzvah halayla, and therefore we have to have some reminder of it at the Seder. The nafkamina between the two reasons offered by the Ramah as to why we have the egg would be whether there's a requirement or a minag rather to have the egg on the second Seder night. If you live in Chutz La'aretz and you have two Sedarim, so if it's about the remembrance of the Karban Pesach, so certainly so, you would have it whenever you're having a Seder. But if it's about the night of the week that you happen, that the Seder happens being the same night of the week that Tisha B'Av is going to happen, well, that doesn't work for the second Seder, and then it would only be appropriate for the first Seder. But this is the idea, that there's some sort of connection, there's something deep, there's something that connects the night of the Seder and the night of Tisha B'Av, and I want to explore that connection, because it seems completely counterintuitive. There are probably very few nights during the year that are more different, that are on greater opposite sides of the spectrum, than the night of Tisha B'Av and the night of the Seder. Just think, the night of the Seder is an exercise in Talmud Torah. How many times did we hear from Mordechai Rabbi Rav Shechter, that the B'Shem Rav Salveitchik, that the Baruch HaMakom Shalom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnasan Torah Le'am Yisrael Baruch Hu is a Birchas HaTorah, because the whole night is a night of Talmud Torah. And yet on Tisha B'Av, the one thing we're not allowed to do, even though we do it, we're not allowed to do is Talmud Torah, that we're not allowed to be learning Torah. These are opposites of each other. We're drinking wine at the night of the Seder. Tisha B'Av, we're not eating anything. We didn't drink wine for 9 days in advance of it. It's the absolute opposite. In fact, in Maisa Rav, in the Vilna Gaon, it records that the Vilna Gaon said, and it appears in Bir Agra, on that Rama in Shulchan Aruch, when the Rama makes this connection between the night of the Seder and the night of Tisha B'Av, says the Gra, the way it appears in Maisa Rav, Chas v'shalom lahazkir avelus Tisha B'Av hayom. Chas v'shalom, how dare we bring up the avelus of Tisha B'Av on Pesach? You can't bring avelus into a yontif. So it aside from the calendaric coincidence that it happens to be on the same night of the week, what exactly is the connection? I would be strongly on the side of the Vilna Gaon over here, that chas v'shalom, one should have nothing to do with the other. And the truth is, every other year this kasha is very strong. This year this kasha does not feel quite as strong. This year it feels like the lead up to Pesach feels more like the lead up to Tisha B'Av. It feels more like a Bein HaMitzarim than it ever did in the past. You know, when the Gemara Maseches Tainis says Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, Shem Shemisha Nichnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha Kach Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, Rashi famously comments, Yimei Simcha Hayu Li Yisrael Purim UPesach, that this is a season of joy starting with Purim. It just builds up and up and up, and you get to Pesach and the whole thing is an uplifting experience. And our experience has been the exact opposite. Our experience has been like a Bein HaMitzarim kind of experience, where you build into this deeper and deeper avelus as you go, starting with the 3 weeks and the 9 days and the Shavua Shechalbo, until you're in the depths and the throes of avelus. And that's what it feels like happened between Purim and Pesach this year, that we slowly, slowly dug ourselves deeper into a period of avelus. So if there was ever a year that it made sense to try to explore the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, I think this is the year. And what I want to share with you are four approaches. The first approach is the longest of the four. It will take about half the shiur. And then the other three approaches, which I think each have a critical message as well. The first approach is the approach of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi had dedicated two drushos to this topic, Drush Beis and Drush Dalet, which appears in the third volume of the Shailos and Tshuvos Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, of course, was Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the father of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the grandfather of Moshe Soloveitchik and the Brisker Rav, and the great-grandfather of his namesake, the Rav, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. And the essential idea, to put in a single line, that the Beis HaLevi says, is that the connection is that without a Geulas Mitzrayim, there could never have been a Tisha B'Av. A little counterintuitive. Geulas Mitzrayim leads to Tisha B'Av. How so? How does Geulas Mitzrayim lead to Tisha B'Av, says the Beis HaLevi? Come along for a ride and I'll explain it to you. Let's start with a simple question that we're all familiar with. You know, at the Bris Bein HaBesarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram Avinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Yado Ateida, Ki Ger Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, Ve'avadum Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'oshana, Ve'gamis HaGoya Asher Yavodu Don Anochi, Ve'achre Kein Yetzu Biruchosh Gadol. He promises Avram Avinu that there will be hard times in the future for the Jewish people. And he quantifies the hard times. He says it's going to be Arba, Meos, Shana, 400 years. And then at the conclusion of those 400 years, don't worry, justice will be served. There's going to be Gamas HaGoya Asher Yavodu Don Anochi. The perpetrators will be punished. Ve'achre Kein Yetzu Beruchosh Gadol. The Jewish people will leave with great wealth. It's going to be wonderful at the end. But it's going to be 400 years. And of course, the kasha that everybody deals with is that it was not 400 years. It was 210 years. So how do we reconcile the explicit guarantee that it was going to be 400 years with the reality that it was only 210 years? And there are essentially five approaches that the Beis HaLevi collects to this question. The fifth one is the one that he favors and that he focuses on. Approach number one, we'll just run through them quickly, is that the Cheshbon starts with Yitzchak's birth. Also somewhat counterintuitive. Why would it start with Yitzchak's birth? Yitzchak was Nola Tamima, never left Eretz Eretz Yisrael, but for whatever reason, the Cheshbon starts with the birth of Yitzchak. Approach number two, and we'll come back to this one later, the Koshi Hashibud made up for the shorter time. What we lacked in quantity of Avdus, we made up for in the quality of the Avdus. That we worked so hard, we did 400 years of work in 210 years. It was all packed in to that shorter period of time. A third approach, based on the Pirkei Rav Elazar, that we were supposed to work during the daytime. But our Avoda was not only during the daytime, our Avodas Parach was during the nighttime as well, and therefore, since we were pulling overtime shifts, we were pulling double shifts throughout the time that we were in Mitzrayim, we did 400 years of work within the 210 years, not based on the Koshi Hashibud, but based on the quantity itself, that we didn't work 9 to 5, we worked like, I don't know, a third year associate at a major Manhattan firm, who probably, when you do the math, gets minimum wage. We worked all these crazy hours, these 20-hour days. So when you work like that, then you're going to end up doing double the hours that you're supposed to do. And then a fourth approach, there are Midrashim that tell us, that, you know what, we just got out early. Now the Midrash tells us, Midalig alahari mekapitz ala gva'os b'shah shabav amalem liyisol b'chodesh hazeh atem nigalim. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, you're about to have geula. So they said to him, Rabbeinu Moshe, heichanu nigalim. How could that possibly be that we're going to have geula? Lo kach amar kodesh baruch hu avram avinu v'avad minu osam arba me'oshana. Didn't the Brisman Absarim say Meferish is supposed to be 400 years? Follow in Biyadeinu ala 210 years. We only have Reshiyut Shana. Amar lahem, hol vu chafitz begulaschem, eino mabit becheshbonchem, el medalig ala harim, medalig ala kitzim vacheshbonos vayiburim. This medrash alone is worthy of a lot of attention that we're not going to give it tonight. But the medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw out the cheshbonos, he threw out the books, he threw out all the rules, and he said, you know what, I just love Klal Yisrael, and I want to take them out, and I know what I promised, and I know what I said, but what I said is no longer going to apply, because now I'm saying different, because I just want to bring Klal Yisrael closer, and that was it. And that was the end of the conversation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out after 210 years. And then the fifth approach that the Beis Halevi really focuses on, based on Arizal, really. The Arizal famously comments that we were in the Memtes Sharei Tuma, that had we stayed a moment longer, we would have lost all connection to what makes us unique, to what makes us Jewish, all connection with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Sar Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. It would mean that the promise would no longer apply to us, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the children of Avraham Avinu are going to get out after 400 years. We would no longer have been the children of Avraham Avinu had we stayed a moment longer. But here's the kicker, says the Beis Halevi. The Geula had to happen while we still had some remnant of the Avos and Imos inside of us, but we still owed 190 years. There was still an unpaid debt that Klal Yisrael had. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out early, he didn't throw out the books, he did not throw out the cheshbonos, he expected us to collect on that debt. And if one looks at Jewish history, it seems that we paid with interest, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu collected on that debt of 190 years of Shibud, 190 years of Avdus, that we didn't give in Mitzrayim because we couldn't, because had we waited one more moment, we would have been lost. And over the course of Jewish history, we've been slowly paying that debt. And that yisod, that idea that that the Geula happened early, and we've had to make up for it ever since, says the Beis Halevi, explains five different things. Number one, it explains a conversation in Parshas Vayigash that Yaakov has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu doesn't want to go to Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Al tira mirda Mitzrayim, Anochi ereinimach Mitzrayim, Vanochi alcha gamalo. Don't be afraid to go to Mitzrayim. I'm going to go with you. And not only that, I'll bring you out. Why was Yaakov afraid of going to Mitzrayim? Was Yaakov unaware of the Bris Min HaBesarim? Didn't he know that there was going to be a galus that was supposed to last for 400 years? And what's this lashon of Elcha Gamalo, that I will doubly go up with you, I will make aliyah with you, twice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. What's the double lashon? So says Beis Halevi, based on this understanding of what happened at the end of the galus Mitzrayim, we can explain it very easily. Yaakov was worried that Mitzrayim is known for Tuma and Toeva, and he knew that we wouldn't last 400 years in Mitzrayim. The word Yira is used when someone is mesupak about something, when you're in doubt, when you're not sure about something. The word da'aga is when someone knows for sure that there is what to worry about. Now, I would have thought that Yaakov would have had da'aga about going to Mitzrayim, knowing there's a bris ben habasarim, knowing that there's supposed to be a galus. So he has da'aga because it's a fact, it's a given before the conversation begins. But no, Yaakov has yira, because Yaakov wasn't sure that it had to be Mitzrayim. Why does it have to be the worst place? Why does it have to be the place where everyone is shtufei zima, where the people are on the lowest levels of tumah? How are my holy children, Yaakov says, going to survive 400 years in such a place? And of course, Baruch Hu tells him, Al tira, don't be afraid, because elcha gam alo. I'm going to take you out, and if I have to take you out twice, I'll do it twice. If I have to take you out early because you're right, because you're sinking so low that you're going to be unrecognizable as Jews, I'll take you out, and then I'll send you to another galus. And you'll pay the cheshbon eventually, but you'll pay it over time. You'll pay it slowly. You'll take a mortgage on the galus Mitzrayim. And therefore, there will be more than one aliyah. A second thing the Beis HaLevi says that becomes clear based on this yesod, the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Gimel, pasuk Zayin, Yodia Drachav L'Moshe L'Vnei Yisrael Alilosav. That our Kodesh Baruch Hu let His ways be known to Moshe, to the Bnei Yisrael He allowed Alilosav to be known. What is Moshe learning that the Jewish people are not learning? So the Medrash tells us, Yodia Drachav L'Moshe Zehaketz. Moshe Rabbeinu knew about the Kates, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe, says, I want you to go to Mitzrayim, I want you to lead a Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu says, who should I say is sending me? What does that mean? It's God. They never heard of God before? No, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many names. He's Rachum, He's Chanun, He's all these different things. Which name are you using? Who are you? What is your identification when it comes to how people are supposed to relate to the Ribono Shel Olam as a Goel? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eheke asher eheke. And the Chazal understand that to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him that just like I am with them in this galus, there will be other galuyos that I will have to be with them in. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Dai l'tzara b'shaita, it's enough that they're dealing with this one galus, and Hashem therefore modifies it and says, Eheke shlachani aleichem. Says the Beis HaLevi, what's happening is that Moshe wanted to know how they were going to get out so early. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're coming to me. You're 190 years early. How am I supposed to take them out? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's an unpaid debt. I have to take them out now, but they're going to have to pay this debt eventually. Eventually, there's going to be more galus because the 400 years has to be filled. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, how in the world am I supposed to tell that to these people? They're suffering, they're struggling, I'm supposed to talk. Can you imagine if someone starts talking about now, well, you know, if the virus mutates and next year, oh, we can't handle that. We can't talk about things like that. Let's get through this tzara right now. Let's get out of this right now. We can't be talking about things like that. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're right. Yodia Drachav L'Moshe Zehaketz. Moshe gets to know Zehaketz. He knows the plan. Klal Yisrael, Ekesh Lachani Aleichem. I will be just right now in this galus. And that conversation makes sense in this context when you understand that we had to take a loan on the galus that we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the third thing, says the Beis HaLevi, that now makes sense. When Moshe defends Klal Yisrael about the Cheda Egel, in the matter of the Cheda Egel, it's a remarkable discussion. The Gemara in Brachos elaborates on the discussion, I think at Aflamet Beis, Maseches Brachos. The Gemara discusses how Moshe Rabbeinu defended Klal Yisrael in the matter of the Cheda Egel. But you just look at the Pesukim, it's wild. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and he says, Lama yechra abcha ba'amecha, asher otesam eretz Mitzrayim, b'koch gadol b'yor chazaka. Why are you so angry, Hashem? Why are you so angry at the people that you took out of Mitzrayim with the Koach Gadol and Yad Chazaka? Is there a greater chutzpah in the entire world? What was so confusing to Moshe? They just committed the Cheda Egel. It is the greatest betrayal of the Ribono Shel Olam that exists to worship Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take many things as seriously as he does Avodah Zarah. And say, oh, why are you so angry? What did they do so bad already? You know, can you imagine? It's like you caught the kid with his hand in the cookie jar, and he looks at you and he says, I wasn't taking a cookie. What do you mean? I caught you red-handed. You're right there. I got you. How can you say? How can you say, oh, what are you getting so angry about? What did I do? Of course, what you did is obvious. Furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just told Moshe why he's angry. He said, Saru me'er min aderech, asula emegel maseich, v'yishtach v'lo v'yizbuch v'lo v'yomru, eilu elohecha Yisrael, get off of this mountain, go see what your guys are doing down there. They made an egel maseich, and they're declaring it their God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained why he was angry. So Moshe says, what are you so angry about? Also, Moshe brings up that they were taken bekoach gadol biyad chazaka. Yeah, I would think that would hurt his case. It's not going to help his case. You know, Ribbono Shel Olam, forgive them. It wasn't so bad. You know, look, you did a lot of really nice things for them. So, of course, they spat in your face. Don't bring up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a lot of nice things for them. Don't bring up the Yad Chazaka. Don't bring up the Koach Gadol. That only makes matters worse. It's not a defense. And then Moshe adds a second taina. Lama Yomru Mitzrayim Leimar Barot Yom La'arogo Sambarim. Now Mitzrayim is going to look at what happens to the Jewish people, and Mitzrayim is going to say, we didn't really do anything wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu just took them out of Mitzrayim, not to punish us, but to punish them, to give them a little bit of hope, and then to crush them. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu did. Why on earth would Mitzrayim think that? Why on earth would Mitzrayim not realize that after they left Mitzrayim, they committed a new sin? They committed a Chet Egel, and that's what they're being punished about. All of these questions, what in the world is going on in this conversation? Says the Beis Halevi, there's a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Kisisa that gives a mashal. The mashal tells us, Lema Dover Dome, the Medrash tells us, what's this like? It's La'echad Sheba Likach Eved. A guy goes to the slave market to buy an Eved, back in the time where that was a possibility, and he said, Amar La Adono, he said to the master who was selling the Eved, Ha'eved Hazeh Shata Mocher, Rahu O Tovu. This servant that you're selling, is he good or bad? Amarlo, Rahu, a very rare, honest salesman. He said, look, if he was good, I wouldn't be selling him. He's obviously pretty terrible. He's a terrible Eved. Alzani Mochro, lo chava licha lebeso. The guy bought it anyway. You told him you're selling him a lemon, he bought it anyway. Pamach hasarach Eved, hischel adonu makehu. And one day the Eved's misbehaving, so the master starts beating the Eved. Hischel Eved, savach ma'avir alai. The Eved starts crying out, you're being unfair! Why are you doing this to me? Why are you hitting me? What did I do wrong? Amar lo Adonu, sarachta kol asir chonazev, ata tzavach baya avartali. What do you mean? You're misbehaving. You're doing terrible. You're rebelling against me. Why shouldn't I beat you? Amar lo, be'eved ra lekachtani, v'tavakshani eved tov. When you bought me, you asked what kind of Eved I am. They told you I'm a bad Eved. You go to the used car salesman, you go to the lot, and you ask, is this a good car? And he says, no, this is a terrible car. In fact, the engine is going to putter out in about 10 miles from here as you're driving out of here, and it's a horrible car. It's going to be like a Flintstones car. You're going to have to run with your feet. It's not going to work. The whole thing is terrible. And then you drive out of the lot, and you start cursing, this car is terrible. I thought this car would be great. What did you expect? Says the Medrash, what's the Nimshal? Kacham Ramosha. This is how Moshe defends Klal Yisrael. At the Cheda Egel. Ribono Shel Olam. Lo kacham artali. L'chava shalcheicha el paro v'amarti lach bezu zuchus ata go'alam. When you asked me to get the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, I asked you what their zuchus is. Hey, mavdim avodazara. They're a bunch of avdim avodazara. And you remember what you told me? V'amartali. Now you see them as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So you expect, you know, how the if you had to finish a sentence, the Medrash is going to end with something positive. But you're going to see one day they're going to be Gedolim and Tzaddikim. You see these guys, right? You're going to see there's going to be a Chazanish and a Ramesh and a Rav Shechter and a Rav Eliashiv and a Rav Shlomo Zalman. You're going to see there's going to be a Rabbi Weiss and a Rabbi Shechter. There's going to be all these Tzaddikim, all these great people that are going to come. No, it's not how the Medrash ends. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you think that they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah now? Give it 40 days, and then you'll see real Avodah Zarah. You'll see how they do the Cheda Egel. Ooh, that's going to be Avodah Zarah. Va'achshav sha'asu oso. So now Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, so they're true to form. You bought a bad Eved. You knew that it was going to be a bad Eved. And they were true to form. They were a bad Eved. What an unusual medrash. The mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim needs a little bit of clarification. The entire title was that Hashem, you knew this would happen. Why does it really have to, what does it have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Right? It says, V'achshav shosu so atam vakish la'argon ulukach hizkir Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why he mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's that about? And also, what does the medrash try to convey by saying the mashal that had the Evan been good, it never would have been sold? What's that? Klal Yisrael behaved, we would have stayed in Mitzrayim. And also, what kind of conversation is this? When Moshe asks, how can you take them out, considering that they're of the Avodah Zarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you think they're of the Avodah Zarah now? They're going to be bigger of the Avodah Zarah. How does that help? Says the Beis Halevi, according to Ari Yesod, it helps beautifully. Had the 400 years been up, there would not have been any question about why they were being let out. They're let out because the sentence was over. Moshe was asking, why are they being let out early? What unusual zechus did they have? What did they do? And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going to pay for the remaining years. They'll do Avodah Zarah again, and therefore they're going to earn more galus. And that galus that they're going to earn, that's going to finish their time that they still owe. And Moshe therefore says to Hashem, you knew that they would do the Egel. And that was the only reason you took them out of Mitzrayim so early in the first place. You signed on for this deal. The taina of Mitzrayim will be that they're being punished for what they did in Mitzrayim, because it wouldn't make sense to punish them for what they're doing now if Hashem knew the whole time that that's what they were going to do. So Mitzrayim is going to say, Lama Yomer Mitzrayim, they must be punished for what they have done in Mitzrayim. And Hashem's response is, Saru Maher Min Haderech. The problem is not that they rebelled. I knew they would rebel. It's how quickly it happened. 40 days later. Yeah, right after a Kabbalah Satar, right after a Maimar Har Sinai, that's when they're going to do it. It's how quickly it happened. Says the Beis Halevi, there's a fourth thing that we can explain based on this Yesod. And that is, the Beis Halevi elaborates on in Drush Dalit, a little bit later on in the Sefer. There's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Beis that tells us that Kol Shalo Amar, Emes V'yatziv Shachris, V'emes V'emuna Arvis, Lo Yatzi Yedei Chavoso. See, we have two different brachos of Geula, one in Shachris, one in Arvis, two different birchos Kriyashma, and the text changes. It's Emes V'yatziv in the morning, Emes V'amuna at night. Why two different brachos about Geula for day and night? And the Beis Halevi explains that Geula at night represents a premature Geula, when Golus is still ongoing. Night represents Golus. And if you're going to experience Geula during the night, it means there's more night ahead, that there's still going to be more galus. Ooh, but if you experience geula during the day, day represents geula, a final geula. It represents a geula that's going to be permanent. The Medrash in Tehillim tells us, Uvda havya b'chad bar nash. It's a powerful Medrash. That there was a guy, hayamadlik haseiner b'layla, he tried to light his candle, he kindled his candle at night, v'kava, and it got extinguished. Adlika, kava, he lit it again, it got extinguished again. Amar, ad eima sayeya misyageya vaholech. How many times am I going to try and fail and try and fail and it's not going to work? Mamten ani ad shetizrach hashemesh. Let me just wait till the sun comes out. Kach Yisrael nishtabdu b'mitzrayim. So to the Jewish people who were in Shibud in Mitzrayim. Omdu Moshe v'Aaron v'Golam. Moshe and Aaron came out and redeemed them. Chazru v'nishtabdu b'bavel. Then they had a shibud in Bavel. Nigalu al yidei Chananya Mishael v'Azaria. Chananya Mishael v'Azaria came and helped them out. Chazru v'nishtabdu li'avan. V'nigalu al yidei Matisyahu u'banav. When the Greeks came, Matisyahu and Banav came to save the day. Chazru v'nishtabdu l'edom. Each time we had geula, there was another gullus that followed. Every time it wasn't over yet, there was more. Amru Yisrael nisyaganu. The Jewish people said, we're tired. We're exhausted. We just can't do this anymore. Negalim v'chozrim v'nishtabdin. Einonu mevakshim sheyari lanu basar v'dam milamata elak Rosh Baruch Hu. Enough geula by a basar v'dam. We don't want Moshe v'Aaron. We don't want Hanani Mishael v'Azaria. We don't want Matisyahu Banav. Ribono Shalom, we want you, because that's the only way it's going to work. It's the only way it's going to be lasting. We knew that as long as people are bringing the geula, as long as it's being done al yidei basar v'dam, no matter how great they are, it's a geula belaila. We need Hashem to do it himself. That's going to be kayam lanetzach. We can relate to this feeling. We're exhausted. We're exhausted. Has it occurred to us? When we go back to shul, how many people are going to be saying Kaddish? Someone pointed out to me when we left our shul, when we left our beloved shul, 4 weeks ago, there was no one saying Kaddish. A few people had just finished. when we go back, how many people are going to be saying Kaddish? How young are the people that are going to be saying Kaddish? Nisyaganu! We're tired, Ribbono Shel Olam. We're exhausted. We just can't keep doing this over and over again. So Moshe Rabbeinu argues for a week before agreeing to go lead the Geula. What? Moshe Rabbeinu is told, it's time. The Jewish people can get out of this. You can end the virus now! And he says, oh, me? I'm not worthy. And he sits there arguing for a week. Send this one, send that one, don't do it through me. You know, there's a time for anivus. That's not the time. In Mitzrayim, the babies were being killed. The children were being killed in the most gruesome of ways. Drownings, being used as bricks in the construction projects. You know, of all of the horrific things we've seen, for the most part, the children are unaffected physically. In Mitzrayim, babies were being killed every day. We're experiencing something pretty awful. But we're not experiencing that. A father told me that his child said to him, young child said to his father, Abba, what happens if all the adults die and there are only children in the world? And then he realized what he said and he started to cry. It's traumatic. What was going on in Mitzrayim, it was traumatic. And Moshe Rabbeinu was given an opportunity. You can go and get them out now. Who says so? The Ribbono Shel Olam says so. And now you're going to stand on ceremony. You're going to go give me a shlach no biyad tishlach. Get them out of there. You know, we know humble people. But great humble people know when they need to step up. They need to do something. They need to take a stand. They know that when it's going to cost lives, they have to step up. You know, you learn a lot about people in difficult times. I thought I had a pretty good read on some of my rebbeim and some of the local rabbanim before this happened. The level of respect, of awe, that I have now for some of my rebbeim and for some of the local rabbanim, has gone through the roof. There's no more humble person than Morenu Rav Shechter Shlita. And when everyone else, including the doctors, were saying, you don't really need to close the shuls. And all the other rabbis, you don't really need to shut it down. This humble man, who doesn't like to be assertive, it's not in his nature, just sits back and takes everything, whatever kinds of bizyonos people throw his way. And he says, no, safek pikuach nefesh, even a svek sveko pikuach nefesh, you have to do it. You have to save lives. Because when lives are at stake, you step up and you do something. I grew up in this community, the Greater Five Towns community. I knew Rabbi Billet my entire life. I didn't appreciate his greatness until now. With strength, with power, saying that we need to protect people and I have no doubt that Morenu Rav Shechter saved dozens of lives, and that's before he wrote a single tshuva. And how many more he probably saved with his tshuvas and the tone of the tshuvas. And Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say, Shlach na biyad tishlach. Says the Beis HaLevi, the explanation is that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if he were to lead the Geula, it wouldn't be final. It was going to be an Emes ve'emuna. It was going to be a Geula belaila. There was going to be more galus. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, don't make it me, Ribbono Shel Olam. Make it you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Make it an Emes ve'yatziv. Make it an everlasting Geula. What you do is nitzchi. V'niskaven l'tovason shal Yisrael b'seiruvo, says the Beis Halevi. The Geula b'layla requires emuna for future Geula. The Geula b'yom is yatsiv, it's everlasting. And one final thing that the Beis Halevi explains with this idea before we move on to ideas number 2, 3, and 4. And that's the connection to Tisha B'Av that we started with. We didn't complete our time. So there were future galuyos that had to happen. We had to mourn again. We had to worry again. The pasuk in Eicha, hispiani b'marurim. What a strange pasuk. You satiated me with marar. You know, there's a thing about marar. You only need to eat a kazayis. And the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that Memtesa Kezayis is not the definition of Sviya. V'achalta zu Kezayis, v'savata zu Kebeitza. Sviya means a Kebeitza at least, probably more. Machlokes Tanayim. Achila zu Kezayis. What does it mean? Hispiani b'mrurim, we had Sviya with Marar? Well, what kind of Seder is that? The idea of achilas Pesach ala sova, what does it mean when you eat the carbon Pesach ala sova? That when you're satiated already, it means that you have tam Pesach bepiv. You still have some of the taste of the carbon Pesach. On the Seder night, we recall two opposite themes. We have a zecher l'shibud, we have marar, we have charoses, and we have a zecher l'cherus, we have Pesach, and we have matzah. The lasting impact to eat the Korban Pesach ala sova means that it's ein maftir nachar Pesach avikom, and it's the last thing that you're going to eat. It represents cherus. It means that you go through the whole night where, yes, you're maskil begnus, but you are mesayim b'shevach, and what's left in your mouth is the taste of cherus. It's the taste of Pesach. What you walk away from the experience with, you know, we have to think about that. What are we going to walk away from this experience with? Are we going to go back to everything just the way it was? I just saw today someone was sending around how a number of Rashi Yeshiva in Brooklyn are making a big push. We should rethink the Jewish wedding. Do we believe that's going to happen? Are we going to walk away from this experience with only bitterness? With only marar in our mouth? Many, many people would be excused if they would. Are we going to walk away with maybe some perspective? Are we going to walk away with maybe some positive things? Anyone who knows me and my family knows that none of us can carry a tune. Anyone who's ever sat near us during davening. Our friend Dovi Herman could very much, very, very much testify in Gan Eden Shalmaila that the Leibowitzes can't sing to save their lives. And that's why we always refrain from Zeros. I always hated that Rav Shach story. You know the Rav Shach story. I always hated that story. The stipler was Zeicher to Rav Chaim Kanievsky because he sings in Miras. And Rav Shach was not Zeicher to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, leaving aside, you know, whatever it says about Rav Shach's children, but Rav Shach was not Zeicher to Rav Chaim Kanievsky because he didn't sing in Miras. Like, what do you want from me? I can't sing. My family's walking away with Zemiros from this. It's all we do. We sing. Yeah, sometimes we even open the windows and torture the neighborhood. We walk away with something from this. A changed perspective. What's going to be the tam that's remaining in our mouth? But you know what? Hillel says that Pesach is not enough. Hillel says you have to be korech, Pesach, matzah, morar. The morar also has to be alasova. The morar also has to remain in our mouth. Why? Why do we have to leave morar in our mouth? At the end, it's maschil b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach. We go out, there's geula. Why does morar have to remain in our mouth? Says the Beis Halevi, based on this approach, we understand very well. Because at the end of Galus Mitzrayim, we still had a debt to pay. There was more marar to come. And we had to be prepared for that. We have to recognize that. We have to commemorate that. That there's still more galus that has to be paid off. And that's the tam marar that's left in our mouths. My brother Shlita pointed out something unbelievable. That this is a Rambam Lishitaso. How did I get this from my brother? I texted my brother and my friend Rabbi Warren Sinneman. I said, I'm talking about Night of the Seder related to Tisha B'Av. I've got nothing. This was 2 days ago. Send me whatever you got. 5 minutes later, I got a drasha. Right? So my brother sent me the following. He pointed out that the Rambam in Perches Halacha Dalit, Vilchus Chametz Matzah, says that Rambam Gamliel HaYomer, right? The three things. Pesach, Marar u Matzah. That's the order. Makes sense. that Maror first, then Matzah. The freedom comes last. However, our order doesn't make sense. Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. Why does Maror come last? Why would we end with Maror? According to the Beis Halevi, it works very nicely. The Maror is still there at the end because we need more Shibud to be Mashlim the Cheshbon. So my brother points out, that's a Rambam Lushitaso. There's a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, whether you dip Matzah in Charoses. The Rambam says yes, the Ravid says Ze Hevel. Loosely translated, I respectfully disagree. Because the Matzah is Zechel Cherus. The Charoses is Zechel Etit. They have no connection, it's a conflict. So the Adaris explains, with such Charifus, the Adaris explains that there, he explains the Rambam, that there's another Machlokas, Rambam and Ravid in Hilchus Tshuva Perek Vav. Why were the Mitzrim punished if we were destined to suffer in Gullus anyway? And they were just carrying out the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes that each Mitzri could have chosen to be one of the Chasidei Umos HaOlam. Yeah, we had to have a Gullus Mitzrayim. That was Begadol. But each Mitzri could have been one of the good guys, says the Rambam. The Ravid disagrees. What do you mean? If each Mitzri had the Bechira to be one of the good guys, then theoretically they all could have been good guys, and then there never would have been a Shibud Mitzrayim. That doesn't make any sense, says the Ravid. I have two other answers. First, the one that we're not going to focus on, they were only punished for what they did after Moshe asked for the release of the slaves. But second, says the Ravid, much more important to us, what they were punished for was because they made our Gullus so much worse than it had to be. And that's why the Mitzrim were punished. They went overboard. Apparently, the Rambam doesn't accept that the Mitzrim would be punished for the Koshi HaShibud. Because that, the Rambam says, the Koshi HaShibud was actually to our benefit. It got us out early. Remember the five answers we had at the beginning? As to why we got out early, 190 years early, one of the answers is because they made it so challenging. What we lacked in quantity was made up for in quality. So the Rambam says the Koshi HaShibud, we should say Yasha Koyach and thank them for the Koshi HaShibud. It saved us 190 years. So the Charoses, which relates to the Koshi HaShibud, fits seamlessly with the Matzah. They're both the symbol of Cherus. The Koshi HaShibud allowed for the Cherus to happen. But the Ravid holds that the Koshi HaShibud didn't benefit us at all. We just worked harder, but we didn't get out early because of the Koshi HaShibud. You know why we got out early? Because we're going to have to pay it in the future, like the Beis Halevi said. It turns out that the Rambam, who says we end with Matzah and not with Maror, is the one who holds that the reason we got out early was the Koshi HaShibud and we've already paid our debt. Whereas the Ravid says, no, we end with Maror because we haven't yet paid our debt. Like the Beis Halevi says, there's more to pay. It's an amazing thing about the Seder. It's like this experience of mixed feelings. You know, people are struggling. People are struggling emotionally. How do I experience a Pesach? How do I experience a Simchas Yom Tov? When I'm feeling all of these negative thoughts, negative feelings. And the answer is, that is what Pesach is. It's meant to be a combination of gnus and shevach, of matzah, lechem oni, holach ma'anya, and lo hispik b'tzeichem lahachmitz, of charoses being both sweet and representing zecher letit. It's an amazing thing. The human being has the capacity to have two opposite emotions simultaneously. The Ribbono Shel Olam created us. We're remarkable creatures. Rav Meir Tversky once explained the Rambam Shvil Azav in his hesped for his brother, Rav Meisha Tversky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Rav Meir Tversky explained that the whole world misunderstands the Rambam Shvil Azav. They think the Rambam says that you shouldn't be too this or too that, so be parith. Don't be too excitable, don't be too dull, somewhere in the middle. Be a Beinoni. There's no bigger issue in the Torah than to be a Beinoni, Rav Huttner writes in a famous letter. Doesn't mean don't be too this or too that. Says Rav Tversky Shlita. No, you know what the Rambam means? Be extremely excitable and extremely relaxed. Simultaneously. Know how to use each midah in the right context. Be someone who's very assertive. And someone who's a pushover. Your wife wants something? You could be a pushover once in a while. There's a question of the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Be assertive. Stand up. we can incorporate opposite midos and opposite emotions simultaneously. And we have to realize that big things are happening here. You know, you ever been to a Shiva house where they tell stories and they laugh? They're laughing, they're telling stories, funny stories about the fellow. What, is that inappropriate? No, it's totally appropriate. Because we can do that, we can do that. We can remember the good times and we could smile about them and we can laugh about them. Even in Avelus, we're capable of that. There's a great deal of patience that's necessary. We feel that we've put in our time. Nisyaganu, we're exhausted. But we cannot lose patience. There's a tremendous Yetzer Hara to take new liberties. Especially, I've already tested COVID positive. It must be that I'm not dangerous anymore, nor am I a danger. I'm not a danger to myself, nor to anybody else. It doesn't matter what the doctors are telling me. I could have play dates for my kids. And people think so narrowly. Sometimes we only think about ourselves and we don't think about that big things are happening here. Big things. We don't realize how big. Every shortcut we take, every corner we cut, runs the risk of losing out on something big. You know, we take it for granted that we could perform a tahara on a nifter. We take it for granted that we could perform a kvura on a nifter. It's no longer a given in every country in the world. Cremation is required. Oh, so, but come on, let's just all go to the Levaya. Do we know what kind of impact that could have? Oh, my children aren't a danger to my neighbor's children. They're kids, they need to play. Let them play together. Let them just play together. What's the big deal? And the non-Jewish neighbor is outside taking pictures. Look at the Jews ignoring all the rules. And what the ramifications of that are in the court of public opinion. Big things are happening. We think we're being kind by going to be Menachem Avelim in person. It's the greatest achzorius in the world. If you're going to go be Menachem Avelim in person, you do the next Levaya. Big things are happening in Hashem's grand plan. Time has slowed down and sped up simultaneously. We feel a sense of ikvus b'mashicha, but we need to have a little bit of patience. Because we don't know when, but we feel big things. History is speeding up. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's still a cheshbon that needs to be paid off, we're paying it in spades now! And that brings us so much closer. Then there's a second idea. I'll try to make the next three much, much shorter. I'm sorry, going a little long. Second idea. From Gullus comes Geula. The opposite of the Beis Halevi. Ooh, the Beis Halevi said, you know what Pesach has to do with Tisha B'Av? It's because of Pesach that we have Tisha B'Av. But there's another possibility. It's because of Tisha B'Av that we're going to have a Geula. That we're going to be able to celebrate a Pesach-like celebration in the future. Medrash Eicher Abasi, the Yerushalmi in second paragraph of Brachos, Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. The Navi in Zechariah, Periches, Koamar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzom Arvi, Tzom Achamishi, Tzom Ashavi, Tzom Asiri, Yeh, Lebeis Yudha, Lesasun, Lesimcha, Lemoadim Tovim. The Geula is going to happen around Pesach time. Gemara Shani Yeralf, Benisa Nigalu Avoseinu, Benisa Nasid and Ligal. How many times have we ended conversations with people on the phone with that line? It's a Gemara Rosh It's actually not so different from the Beis Halevi, because you see, the Beis Halevi had suggested that we need to be mashlim the suffering, but you know what that means? That as we're mashlim the suffering, we're paying off that debt. The mortgage is about to be paid off. It's about to be ours. Recently, when I was saying karbanos, one of the positive silver linings, I get to say karbanos. And reading the carbon, I could always say carbonos if I wake up a little earlier, you know, if I'm really honest, but I was reading the parsha of the carbon tamen and I just broke down crying. A little bit strange, but nothing strange anymore when you break down crying these days. But what made me cry, what triggered me? Es hakeves echad ta'aseh v'boker ves hakeves hasheni ta'aseh ben arbayim. And it occurred to me, a korban tamid, that there are korbanos consistently offered every single day. It's become the norm that we're bringing korbanos with a greater consistency than the korban tamid. Halavai, it should be two a day. How many korbanos can we possibly bring? Let's get to the point where the korbanos are sheep and not humans. And you have to feel that prior to Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is picking his Shoshanim. He's going to his rose garden and he's picking the most beautiful roses out of the garden, accelerating the process of paying our debt. Even if you don't know them, even if you know you're on this Zoom and you're not from North Woodmere and you don't know what we just lost, go on Yeshiva World News. Don't. But if you were, every day another Rosh Yeshiva, Chassidish Rebbe, a Paisik, a communal leader. We don't recommend looking at the news too much, but not looking at it doesn't make it not true. It's happening. But we have to see silver linings. We have to see that a Tisha B'Av leads to a Geula, it leads to a Pesach. Look for things to be grateful for. The Seder night includes a Chiyuv L'Aseis Halel V'Hoda'a L'Shmo. Someone who just lost a child remarked that he was saying Baruch Sha'amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem is Gozer U'Mekayim. And then he had to say Hodu, because there is a Hodu somewhere. It's hard to feel it, it's hard to find it, but we have to find it. We have to look for the Hodu. And let me give maybe some examples. Maybe in the absence of certain things that we're used to, we can appreciate how amazing it is that that has become the norm in our lives. How many times in Jewish history was it unusual to experience a Pesach without a tea room? How many times in Jewish history was it unusual to experience a Seder without three or four or five generations at a Pesach Seder? Unusual! The very fact, it's the exception that proves the rule. Look how much we have to be grateful for. It's painful, but we have to be grateful. Just today I got a call from my wife's uncle, Julius Berman, to thank me for being Masader Kiddushin at his grandson's wedding. His grandson's wedding, which he couldn't attend, because it's too dangerous for someone in his age group to attend anything, even if people are standing 25 feet apart with masks and gloves and enough Purell to fill a swimming pool. Just wanted to express Hakaras HaTov, because he's so grateful that his grandson was able to get married. Just a few days ago, on that same day of the wedding, standing in a Beis Olam, hearing an 18-year-old boy express how grateful he was to have 18 years with his father. How grateful he is. And we're getting to see greatness. I mentioned before, I get to see my Rebbe from up close saving dozens of lives with his foresight, taking all of Klal Yisrael on his back, pastoring the Shilohs that nobody else can. We get to see greatness. The Belzer Rebbe gave chizik during the Holocaust, before Pesach, that in Mitzrayim, before Pesach Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were surrounded with the avelus of 80% of the tzibur. You know, we don't think of that. Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael, 80% were gone, died in Makas Choshech. And all their children were taken by the other surviving adults. That little boy, what happens if all the adults die and there are only children? That's what happened, pretty much. 80%, you know what kind of number that is? And you know what happened a week later? They sang Shira. They sang Shira, said the Belzer Rebbe, Because if you're a people that believes in a Mashiach, you're a people that believes in a Tchias HaMesim, you're a people that believes in a Ribon Shalom who has a plan, you can sing Shira after losing 80%. And then there's a third idea. Tisha B'Av came about because of Sinas Chinam, and Galus Mitzrayim also came about because of Sinas Chinam of the Shvatim. That's a reminder for what the key to redemption will be. It's going to be when we come together. The Ben Ish Chai explains that we dip twice. Shebechal alelo inonu matbilin afilu pamechas. Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. Why? Because we'll bring to mind, says the Ben Ish Chai, two very different dippings. The dipping of Yosef's ksonas pasim in the goat blood, symbolic of sinas chinam. And that's where the name karpas likely comes from, a reference to the fine material that the coat was made from. And the dipping of the agudas ezov, to help us paint the blood on our doorposts, to protect the Jewish home, the Jewish homes for makas bechoros. The term aguda, represents unity. I have to point out, unity does not mean accepting everybody's decisions. I've been emphasizing leaders who've made wonderful decisions and who've shown true leadership. Sadly, there have been those who have done the opposite. Unity does not mean giving them a pat on the back and saying, oh, different strokes for different folks. Not when it's costing lives. If a person is a rodef, unity means saving the near death. Not saying that the rodef is also a Talmud Chacham. You know, after David's funeral, a non-Jewish neighbor asked Elie Weisfeld if a great rabbi had died. He assumed that it must have been a very important person because he had never seen so many cars line up for a funeral procession. He pointed out on Erev Shabbos, it's an amazing thing, that it's an unprecedented thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking for us. Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, I'm going to create a greater need for chesed than you've ever seen in your lives. And then I'm going to take away everything you know about doing chesed. And I'm going to tell you, you can't do any of it. There's an almana who's lonely, you want to invite her for a seder, you can't. There's a family that's sitting shiva, you want to go and you want to be menachim them in person, you want to give a hug, you want to just sit with them, show them you're there, you can't. Kadosh Baruch Hu ties our hands behind our back, he blindfolds us, and he says, now figure out how to do chesed. And we need to become ga'onim in chesed. We need to use creativity. So a community comes up with the idea. It's actually the idea of a Talmud of mine. His mother, a Talmud's mother, and the Talmud had the foresight to call me up and say, I have an idea. My mother had an idea. I think it's a good one. To just line up the cars, no one gets out of their car. And just show a family that we're here for you. Driving by one, I don't know how many cars there were. If you tell me there are 150, you tell me there are 200, I would think that's a conservative estimate. Ashrechem Yisrael. A great act of love. I was at that chasana that same day. What a day. How do young girls celebrate with their friend, with a kala. They have to be there for her, but they can't be there for her. They want to dance with her, but they can't dance with her. So I looked at the bench behind where she sat for the Kabbalah's Pan, for the Badekin. And there were faces behind, pictures of faces of all these girls. Her friends were all there with her. They had sent pictures of all their faces to be there with her. Go'onus in chesed. That's how you misameach a chasim the kala when a Kadosh Baruch Hu ties your hands behind your back and he blindfolds you. And we have to use every tool at our disposal to express our love for each other. Now, as long as WhatsApp existed, there have been rabbanim that are railing against WhatsApp. People who run yeshivas view it as the root of all evil, not only because of the questionable content that can be shared, but because of all the lashon hara that our kids' teachers that are immediately spread. But we should realize that social media is just one big, giant microphone. Taking away the microphone from the Baal Lashon Hara won't fix the Baal Lashon Hara. It just minimizes the harm that they can do. The real answer is to become better people. To change the way we talk. to change the way we use our microphones. Use our microphones to spread positivity. Like Avishai Newman did when he came up with the idea of the North Woodmere Positive Vibes. I think it was his idea. Just a whole WhatsApp group just to only share positivity because people could use positivity. Like Simcha Herman did when he called me last night. He said, you know, it's been so sad, but last night preparing for Pesach, we just played music in our house. And you forget the koach that music has. How it could change the mood. How it can uplift people. Comfort people. I finish every conversation pretty much these days with let's be mechazik each other. We can't rely on one or two people who give us chizik. Let's all be mechazik each other. Pick up the phone, call a friend. You know, I had a strange experience last week. A couple of friends from our community, from our kehillah, ended conversations with me. Guys, my age. With the words, I love you. They weren't talking to their mother. They weren't talking to their wife. They weren't talking to their children. Just 42-year-old guys talking to each other. It was so genuine, coming from such a deep place. Maybe we need to say that a little bit more. To tell all of our family, all of our friends, all of Klal Yisrael from the depths of our heart, I love you. I can't tell you how painful it is for me to have to be the bad guy. To tell you not to be Menachem Avel. To tell you not to be Mesameach Hasan Vekala. I promise it's because I love you. By nature, I'm a pushover. I don't say no to people. But I love you too much to say yes. Since Wednesday, the wisest person I know on this earth is an 18-year-old boy by the name of Alex Herman. He said to me last night that he used to believe that our community was cursed. Why do so many people lose relatives at young ages in our community? Hananya's sister, whose yard site was just that same day, Ches Nisan, Eric's mom, Eric's dad, Avi Shachter's dad, Dovi Brenner's dad, Avishai's dad. And the list goes on. I'm not leaving anyone out on purpose. Why are we so cursed? But said the wisest man I know, he then realized that we're blessed. Because these losses were the Ratzon Hashem, and they were going to happen no matter what. And Hashem, in his great kindness, placed all of these people in a community that would be able to lift them, to push them, to carry them, to help them survive such losses. It's the great Chazdei Hashem. It's Rachamei Shemayim. And one final idea. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explains the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av, Seder night and Tisha B'Av. The Geula from Mitzrayim was a reflection of Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim V'lo Avadim La'Avadim. That we're in Hashem's embrace. And that's the antidote to Tisha B'Av, where we feel abandoned by Hashem. You know, Tisha B'Av, we use the term Hamakom when we talk about Avelus, when we're being Menachem Avelim, because it indicates that Hashem is with us. Hu Mekomo Shalolam Veinolam Mekomo, even though he seems so far away. We just discussed in the Haggadah Shir last week that's how Rav Schwab explains Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Because manishtana, it's a sugya in Shas, that manishtana is something that sometimes one person has to ask themselves because they're having a seder all alone. Ah, lamdus! Can you have a shayla and tshuva with one person? It's not lamaisa, and this year it's lamaisa! And you feel like saying, where are you, Ribbono Shel Olam? Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. we use that term hamakom. We remind ourselves that Kadosh Baruch Hu is here. At the Akedah, Avraham Avinu was going to have to sacrifice some Vayaris Hamakom, Meirachok. The Ribbono Shalom seemed so distant from him. Recently, during davening, I've discovered an incredible comfort. And I want you to try to, I'm sure many of you have as well. And if you haven't, try to experience this. Knowing that I'm in the presence of Hashem just makes everything better. It's like this warm embrace when you're not allowed to do warm embraces. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of everything. He knows what he's doing. On Thursday morning, it made me want to slow down and just not stop davening. I didn't want davening to end because it was the only safe place I knew of in this world. And it made me realize that maybe what I need to work on is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, is the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. We just have to feel him, we have to see him. It was a totally new davening experience, even without a minyan. You know, I've always been good with certain things about davening. Structure. I'm a structured person. Three times a day, minyan, never really a big challenge for me. Recently, in recent years, I feel like with the help of my chaverim here in the community, my neshama has expanded. I've learned to be uplifted and inspired by beautiful davening. Not just, but particularly on Yom Noraim. But this new element, this element of safety, this element of comfort, that we're with the Ribbono Shalom, that's might be the most powerful element of all. The Kotzker Rebbe, I heard from Rabbi Wein, and I thank Simcha Herman for pointing this out to me, Rabbi Wein's drasha. The Kotzker Rebbe, in a conversation with Rabbi Yitzchak Gvorka, another great Hasidic master, was discussing the issue of why it is that Klal Yisrael sort of got past the Cheder Egel. They lived to see another day. But the Cheder Meraglim, they didn't get past. The whole generation died out. And the Kotzker Rebbe explained that when it came to the Egel, we were looking for God. We were looking in all the wrong places. But we weren't looking out for ourselves. We were looking for a connection. When it came to the Meraglim, it's like, ooh, this is going to be hard. Who wants all that work? Says the Kotzker Rebbe, as only the Kotzker can say it. You can be for Hashem. You can be against Hashem. But you can never be without Hashem. The Cheder Egel, we were against Hashem. But we can never be without Hashem. When we experience our Seder this year, no matter who's around the table, no matter how many or how few people are around the table, and it's going to be fewer for everybody, fewer than we're used to, let's remember that we're never alone. We're never without Hashem. I mentioned last week, Rabbi Bilit said that an almana in his shul told him that she's going to be having Seder. People are feeling bad for her that she's going to be having Seder alone, but she's not going to be alone because Eliyahu HaNavi is coming to her Seder. So she's not really alone. And I would just argue, I don't know whether Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Seder or not, but one thing I do know is that the Ribbono Shalom is at our Seder. If we let him in. So to review, yeah, Tisha B'Av and Pesach are connected. The Beis Halevi explains because Gutlis Mitzrayim was not the end. We needed a Tisha B'Av to pay off that debt. But let's remind ourselves that paying off this debt quickly in the Ikvasa de Mashiach has to bode well for us for the coming of Mashiach very, very soon. And the second, that from Gullus to Geula, Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. All of these tzaros lead to a final Geula. And third, that Tisha B'Av came about because of Sinas Chinam and the avoda for us to bring us to that geula is to work on the sense of agudas ezov, the sense of achdus, And fourth and finally, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the Geula from Mitzrayim was a reflection of Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim, not that we're free, but that we're Avadim Takarish Baruch. We're in Hashem's warm embrace. That's the antidote to Tisha B'Av, where we have felt abandoned by Hashem. And Be'ezras Hashem, when we allow Hashem in, and we experience a Seder with simcha and sadness, with lechem oni and lo hispik b'tzeikum lahachmitz, with charoses and haseba, we experience it fully, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, the debt has finally been paid. And we're not going to talk about b'nisan asidin lihigael, but we're going to see it happen, Be'ezras Hashem, right before our eyes. Everyone should have a chag kosher v'sameach.